Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I am your host, Ryan Winder. And remember, what's happening in Vegas is not staying in Vegas, as I bring you helpful tips in all sorts of topic areas with a Vegas twist, of course. So let's get the show started. Welcome everybody. It's good to have you back in for another episode of The Vegas Therapist. I'm your host, Ryan Winder. I've got a great show and an amazing guest for you today. But before we get to her, just a few housekeeping items. If you have not rated or reviewed the show, please go do so on Apple iTunes. It's just a way of helping the show get out there to more and more people to hear all the great content and guests that we've had over the last 3 years. Yes, the last 3 years. I can't believe I've been doing this for 3 years. So, but I do enjoy it. And even though episodes have been sporadic lately, it's still something I continue to want to do and will do as we move to even episode 100. This is episode 98 today. So looking forward to hit the 100 mark and seeing where the show will go from there. Couple of other just housekeeping things. Again, if you want to do any work with me, coaching wise, therapy, etc., please just reach out to me, ryanwinder@gmail.com, and I will be happy to get back to you to discuss what that would look like for you. As a result of this show, that's been something that's really been beneficial, as I've been able to reach a larger audience and people who have reached out and done some great work with. So that is an option for you as well. You can also just go to my website, www.ryanwinder.com. The 14-day marriage challenge is still accessible on that site. So if you're looking for something to spice up your marriage or just improve it in any kind of way, that is available there as well. So as we get to today's episode, I'm bringing on a colleague of mine, Lauren Scholes, saying it wrong for several times. She's going to join the show. She's a fellow therapist. She's a licensed alcohol and addiction therapist, as well as a CPC intern. And so she's got a lot of great insight into the world of therapy, but has also had her own struggles over the last few years. And so she's going to come on and share her story and talk about what kind of got her through those events in her life. One of the things I want to do, and I've kind of gotten away from originally, I had a lot of just regular people on to talk about their story so people could see that, hey, there's hope out there for healing, for moving forward, for going through difficult things. And so this is just an attempt to kind of go back in that direction a little bit and to keep that in the mix, because those were some of the best shows that I've had and people that listened to really got a lot out of. And I think it's just something that we can connect to and relate to when we hear other people's stories and hear how they've endured and gone through them. And we can learn from them and hopefully have better tools to go through those difficult things that we might experience in our life as well. So really excited to have Lauren on and hope you enjoy it. And so let's get to the show. All right, this time I would like to welcome in my very special guest, Lauren Schloss. I knew I was going to mess it up. There it was. I thought about it too much.
Oh, yes,
and I messed it up. Sorry. Do you want to say it? There you go. All right. Okay. Thank you. Lauren is a colleague of mine. We've known each other for 4 years now,
Yeah.
And she is an amazing therapist, who has lots of experience both in the substance use world. Since I think 2010, you said you've been practicing in as a substance abuse LADC counselor, right?
Yes.
And now a supervisor in that field. And then more recent as a LPC, right? Licensed professional counselor.
Yes.
Intern slash, yes. But she's not an intern. She's very knows what she's doing and very educated in her profession, and has taught me a lot over the years, even though I've been her LPC supervisor, but that's it, just a label, not necessarily always what's what, right? So we all learn from each other for sure. But anyway, so I've known Lauren for about 4 years now, and really appreciate, like I said, getting to know her and her insight and her just level of expertise in the field. But today we're going to kind of incorporate both sides of this, like our professionalism as well as just our life story. Lauren's been through a lot in the last few years and was gracious enough to come in and share that with us and talk about her story. But first, before we get into that, anything I forgot as far as like an introduction or about yourself that you want to share with people?
I don't think so. I think you covered it all, but thank you so much for that intro. I feel very honored with what you said and thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, you are married and have a child, and then that's how old?
My son is 3 and I'm currently expecting another child who's also a boy. So.
Oh, congrats. Nice.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
All right. Okay. And husband of how many years? How long have you been married?
Let's see. We've been married for 4 years together for, it's going to be 10, it's going to be 5 years this year married and then together for 10 years.
Oh, nice. All right. Mm-hmm. Congrats on that too. So
thank you.
All
right. Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Okay. And I don't remember, like, just from our history and stuff and knowing each other, are you from Vegas originally, or where are you originally from?
Yes. So when I was 5, my parents and I moved to Las Vegas. I grew up as an only child and my dad was in the military and got stationed at Nellis.
Oh, okay.
Air Force Base.
Nellis Air Force Base in North Las Vegas for anybody that's wondering about that. Yes. So, and that is a key to what you said there too, as far as like when we talk about your story, that Lauren's an only child, because that's a factor in sort of some of the things that have gone on for her over the last, you know, few years and stuff. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I wanted to, part of the reason I wanted to bring Lauren on too, is I recently had a podcast where we talked about post-traumatic thriving. And just the idea of like how we move through difficult things, whether we consider it full trauma or not. I know that's been a big buzzword lately as far as, you know, experiencing trauma, but I think trauma is little T, big T, all sorts of stuff. But, you know, I mean, I don't think we want to minimize the things that we go through and not maybe acknowledge that there's some level of trauma in them. But I wanted to bring her on to kind of talk about her story, as well as just kind of giving us some sense of hope of moving through some difficult things, which is kind of what the book had talked about in my interview that I did a few weeks ago on the podcast, and kind of getting back to more of a basis of what I did, early on in the podcast. I used to kind of bring just regular people on like yourself and myself just to talk about our stories so people can connect to that. It feels like, and see that, hey, you know, people go through things and we can come out the other side better for them. So that's a big part of what I wanted to bring Lauren on for. So with that said, do you want to kind of just, I guess, give us a sense of some of your history over the last few years and what you've been experiencing in life?
Sure. Yeah.
I know it's a kind of a little bit vague, but I think you know where we're going with it. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, there was a lot of death, a lot of heartache. It all somewhat started to happen in the beginning of 2020. I had my son and then COVID started. And so that was just awful, strange time for everybody that was having to go through it. And it felt very isolating, especially with a newborn, being so scared of, I don't know if I can leave my house with my child and if something bad is going to happen to him. And so it was extremely isolating. And then in the middle of 2020, we found out that my mother was sick, and I was taking her to so many doctor appointments all the time, and nobody could figure out what was happening with my mom. And it turned into this long battle. It wasn't until, probably a good almost a year until she got her diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. And that was sometime in 2021. And then it began this extremely difficult battle of fighting the medical system and having her go through a surgery that she really never came out of the same. Mm-hmm. And during this time, I was so focused on my mom and taking care of her, I didn't really suspect anything. I wasn't prepared for any other potential family
challenges or whatever.
Challenges. Yeah, that's a perfect word to use. And then on January 1st of 2022, my dad passed away. And he was battling his own illnesses, but I really didn't think, I don't think anybody really thought to look at him, to focus on him. And I think that he was so focused on helping my mom that it was a lot of stress for him, and he wasn't able to take care of himself the way he needed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we mentioned at the start of this podcast, I'm an only child, and everything kind of fell on me.
Yeah.
To not only take care of my small child, but my household, and then to be the primary caretaker for my mom.
Right.
And she happened to pass away in September of 2022. So it was 9 months after my dad had passed. Then right. I ended up losing my mom.
Okay. So let me kind of go back a little bit. So, you know, you lose your dad, like kind of in this process, like, you know, again, taking care of mom, going through mm-hmm. that, and then suddenly lose dad. What was that impact like for you? Just kind of in the sense of just, okay, almost like you're preparing yourself for mom to, you know, mm-hmm. maybe to pass. And then now this happens. I mean, we know, you know, as far as like grief and loss, but also even trauma, it's like the unexpected and kind of how that maybe impacts us. What was that like for you, kind of going through that experience and, you know, with your dad?
Oh, that was so challenging, because it was challenging, but then almost in a way, it became a learning experience of what I didn't want to happen with my mom.
Hmm.
So it was actually, in a strange way, a beneficial experience, so that I could prevent the same things happening to her.
Hmm.
But for my dad, it was completely unexpected. I really wasn't expecting it. And when the process started to happen, when he was passing away, which happened very, very quickly, it just took me by complete surprise. I didn't feel at the end of it that there was anything left unsaid. I thought to myself, my dad knows that I love him, that I'm trying my best. And I didn't feel that there was anything, there was any unfinished business.
Yeah.
But the actual passing away of my dad, it was this long drawn out period when it didn't have to be. I remember talking to my dad before he ended up being hospitalized around Thanksgiving, and so already his health wasn't the best, but I didn't think that he was going to pass away from this hospitalization or what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then so I remember speaking to him then, and he said, you know, when my time comes, I want to go naturally. I don't want to be put on any life-saving measures. When it's my time to go, I'm ready to go. And so I was mm-hmm. like, okay, that I can, you know, I will honor that for you. But then when he passed away so quickly, we didn't have a chance to set up a living will and testament. I wasn't able to act as a power of attorney for him and act out his wishes for him. And so that became a challenge when he started passing away. I call 911, and the paramedics and the doctors are going to do everything to prolong life.
Right.
And so I didn't get a chance to say,
no, he doesn't want that. Yeah.
Yeah. Truly what his last wishes were. Mm-hmm. And so it became this long drawn out process of putting him on life-saving machines, and they did all of these tests, and they said, you know, his brain is dying. He's really not going to survive this. And at that point I said, yes, please take him off of all life-saving measures. Let's let it happen naturally. But that experience haunted me for a very long time. I ended up having nightmares daily, and it was nightmares of just watching it happen and watching it unfold and feeling at a complete loss of control, really, and feeling like I failed in some way of letting somebody suffer when they didn't want that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it kind of, I mean, even just as you're saying that, it kind of like some of the things that, that get talked about in this book, Post-Traumatic Thriving, it's, you know, he talks about kind of being in the surviving stage of like, you know, whether it's like we're confronting something about our trauma or kind of like moving into an acceptance state. But even before we get to that, there can be, you know, some things like where it's like we're maybe experiencing some depression or anger. Like, where is that? Like, where were you at in that space, do you think?
With just, it just happening?
Yeah. Like, were you, did it kind of like, I mean, cause I like now, the things that you talk about, it's like, mm-hmm. like you said, there's like, there's some regret and different things. And then there's also just the, I mean, frustration and stuff. And yeah, I guess, yeah. Where were you at?
Mm-hmm. I think, and knowing the stages of grief, I think I was bouncing between bargaining and depression. Mm-hmm. So the sense of depression of, I just lost my dad, but I felt that I didn't have time to grieve because I had to pick up my pieces and I had to help my mom now. Right. And that was my responsibility. And then it became this, as you said, just existing or thriving, I think was the
surviving,
word you used.
The surviving stage. Yeah. Just, yeah. Yeah.
It was just going through the motions. I didn't, looking back, it's absolutely depression where I didn't feel anything. I didn't feel joy. I didn't feel happiness, but I also didn't feel any sadness. It was just this very numb existence of just going through the motions. And it was an extremely challenging time also for my son and my husband,
mm-hmm.
because I would come home and they want to spend time with me. They want to have a good time.
Be with
time.
Mom
and
or I'm, be with my wife or yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just so emotionally drained that all I wanted to do is sleep and not continue to not feel anything.
Right. So as I mean, this is kind of an interesting thought. And I think you talked about this when I heard, which one thing we didn't mention, Lauren has her own podcast, right? Called Nora's Table. Right. So there's, so when I listened to one episode, talking about your mom and stuff, and I think you, I don't know if the person asked you this question or you just said, it's like, as a therapist, it's like, what advice were you giving yourself in that moment? And I think sometimes we have to realize too, even though we have the skills, we're still human and we still experience things in a very real way. And we have to kind of maybe go through them a little bit before we can kind of recognize our own stuff and kind of where we're at. So I don't know if, like you said, you're in this situation where you're going through this, you're kind of surviving, relationships are being affected, obviously personally. So how are you, like, what advice are you giving yourself in those moments? It'll all be okay.
You know what? I don't really think that I was thinking in a therapist
mindset
mentality.
Or, yeah.
No, not at all. And I was going to therapy and I continue to go to therapy now. I was going to therapy consistently with my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a definitely a life-saving grace for myself because it's just so challenging. But there were two big moments where she pointed out to me two different things. And I was like, holy smokes, I didn't even see that in myself.
Mm-hmm.
So one moment I remember talking to her, and this was after my mom had passed. And I was like, I just don't know why I'm so angry. I can't control my frustration. I'm throwing things. I'm slamming doors. And it'll be just something very small that sets me off. And usually I'm a pretty even keel person. I can get frustrated, but I can let it go. And she was like, Lauren, you're in the anger stage of grief. And it was a light bulb moment where, oh my goodness, I didn't even see that in myself. And I know the stages of grief and I help my clients go through these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then when you're experiencing it, I think that's why going to therapy is so important, because you need that objective point of view of somebody else looking on the outside in and saying, did you think about this?
Right.
Have you noticed this? And it's, whoa, I didn't see that in myself.
Yeah. Which maybe again, as a therapist, you had the awareness to kind of recognize that and be able to kind of put that into action. Curious, what was the second thing? You said there was two.
Yeah. Yes. So the second one is very, very recent. So I'm currently pregnant. I'm 15 weeks pregnant. And at the beginning of my pregnancy, as soon as I found out I was pregnant, I kept having this continuing thought of, I'm certain this baby is going to die. I am absolutely 100% certain this child is going to die. And there was nothing that anybody could say that would make me feel better. And I remember talking to my therapist about it. And she said, that's trauma. That is a trauma response from all the death that you have experienced. It's hypervigilance of waiting for the next bad thing to happen, of waiting for that ball to drop. And so, you know, talking to her, and it's really bad for pregnancy to be so anxious and so worried. Mm-hmm. And so just working a lot on mindfulness and CBT and just accepting and letting it go and just living in the present moment has really been helpful. And then for listeners, my pregnancy is absolutely fine. I've had tests done. Everything is exactly how it's supposed to be going. And so I think with time, I've learned to ease into it and I don't have that continuing fear. But her saying that and almost validating my experience and what I've been through was almost in a way comforting of, okay, now I understand why I have this immense, intense fear. And right. I don't have to feel that. I can let it go.
Yeah. Or, and just even to kind of recognize the origin versus like almost seeing mm-hmm. it as truth, right? Like, no, this is really yes. what's going to happen. This is how yes. it's going to be. And it's like, no, that's the trauma kind of coming out, which is, mm-hmm. you know, in the stages that are in this book, Post-Traumatic Thriving, when we're in the surviving stage, which, you know, one of the things he talks about is just sort of this idea of sorting it out. Right. And I think that that's kind of what obviously therapy can help us do is just go through the process of sorting it out. Like you're doing, right. Where it's like, mm-hmm. Where does this fit? You know, this belief that I now have, where does that fit? Well, that fits in this kind of notion of trauma, which is that's where it originates from. Right. And it's coming from that place. So now I can kind of, you know, not compartmentalize that in a negative way, but put it in that space of like, okay, that's my trauma talking. Now, what am I going to do to, you know, work through that or change that or not pay attention to that or whatever it is. Right. So, mm-hmm. So that's another added bonus, right? I'm kind of sorting it out and moving towards, you know, a better way of being, which it sounds like is happening, right? Like, cause you said, there's a positive thing happening. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to fear it the whole time. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's good. Something else I just want to say too, just as far as like the emotions, even like when you talk about like the anger and stuff, I think, and whether it's, you know, as a therapist or just as a normal person, I think sometimes just allowing ourselves to have those emotions is so important. I remember like, when my mom was passing away, she had cancer as well. And we were able to be with her at the time that she passed, but in just those final moments, if you've ever been with somebody that's, you know, actively, I guess they call it actively dying, it's not a very pleasant place to be, you know, and their breathing is really terrible and it sounds terrible. And anyway, we were in the hospital and my brothers were there and my mom's husband was there. And there were fans on that were kind of like drowning out the noise, you know, like that bad breathing. And then for some reason, somebody went and turned out the fans. And then all you could really hear in that moment was the breathing. And obviously emotions are heavy and you're in that space and you're, you know, saying goodbye to your mom. And I about lost my mind. I was like, who turned off the fans? You know?
Yeah. Get okay, back in here.
Right. We'll get those back on. But, you know. So, I mean, I think the idea of the emotion and stuff is just, you know, we have to allow ourselves that space to be able to experience that, whether it's anger, depression, whatever it is. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's going to be there, but being able to, you know, kind of move through it. So, anyway, I kind of derailed from what you were saying, but so you gave us the two things. So the angry part, and then just the recognition of kind of experiencing the trauma in the form of this belief that you carried. Was there anything else you feel like you received as a result of those experience? I mean, you know, that you've noticed that you've had to kind of work through or, you know, address as you've kind of gone through this process?
I think it's an ebb and flow of mm-hmm. working through. It's you find yourself in the acceptance stage of, okay, I'm okay with it. And, and I'm moving forward and I'm in a good place, but then maybe there's some sort of trigger that happens that you're not aware of, a song that comes on, a movie that you're watching, a holiday, a birthday, an anniversary, things like that are very triggering.
Right.
And I didn't realize it until this January 1st of 2023, when that was the death day of my dad. And it hit me really hard. And it was almost like, I can't believe it's already been a year. A whole year has gone by without my dad. And what I wouldn't give to talk to him and say something to him.
Yeah.
And so I think now moving forward, realizing that, and then what I'd like to do talking with my therapist is almost creating rituals on those days and making them happy and pleasant and something enjoyable, but also can take my mind off of just thinking about the negative experience.
Yeah.
But even happy holidays are difficult too, because you just miss them and you want them there.
Yeah. Well, one thing, and I know this isn't a therapy session, so I don't, if you know, if this is feels too heavy, then don't, it's okay. But I just think about this because sometimes I felt this way, you know, for different reasons, but like after losing my mom, I don't really have a close relationship with my dad. So I, you know, sometimes you kind of feel alone, you know, like the sense of like not having, you know, but I have four siblings, which is different. So what has that experience been like for you, if you don't mind talking a little bit about that? Cause being an only child, I mean, that's kind of, it's a, I imagine it's a weird feeling, right?
Yeah, it is. I want to go back a little bit. I do want to say that I do have a older half sister from my dad.
Okay.
She's 10 years older than me, but we never grew up together, and it's a somewhat disconnected relationship. So we do check in with each other every once in a while, but the physical things of having to go through all of this were by myself, because we also didn't have any family that live here.
Right.
There's no aunts and uncles or cousins, anybody else living here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I try to find support where I can by reaching out to family members, talking about it when I feel like I need to talk about it. And sometimes it's just telling a friend, you know, hey, I'm really missing my mom right now. And just having that validation from somebody to say, yeah, I mean, it sucks. I can't imagine, you know, and that's very helpful too.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I think in the book, Post-Traumatic Thriving, he talks about once we kind of like are in or are moving towards the thriving stage, some of the key parts of that are like, faith, connection, forgiveness, resilience, and gratitude. And I've heard, you know, even like it was interesting because without knowing it, you kind of talked about even going through your dad's death and kind of seeing it as a gift or a blessing, just as far as like being able to learn stuff. So, I mean, there's kind of moving into a little bit of gratitude, not in a, you know, in its own kind of way, right? It gave me a perspective that I needed for my mom, or I wanted for my mom, so that I could do things differently for her. But like, you know, that idea of connection too, that's a big part of thriving, right? Reconnecting. So reconnecting even with my son or my husband, or, you know, kind of rebuilding those connections, but also trying to find other connections, support systems in the world. That's a big part of, I think, the healing. It sounds like that's something that you've looked for as well, right?
Oh, definitely. I remember a time where my husband made me laugh, and this was after my mom had passed. And I remember sitting with him, and it was just this joyful laughter and big belly laughs, and my face hurt because I was laughing so hard. And then I remember, and there were tears coming out of my eyes because I was laughing so hard. And I remember after I finished laughing, thinking back and saying to myself, I can't remember the last time I've laughed like that. And I can't remember the last time I felt this joy and happiness, and just feeling so thankful to be able to have that emotion almost be welcomed to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it's just so significant, because it felt like it was almost the first step to starting a healing journey.
Yeah. That's awesome. So And speaking of the healing journey too, I mean, obviously, as we've been talking about going to therapy and this experience and kind of like, you know, getting back to yourself, which is kind of like that whole idea, like, you know, finding yourself again, or even after going through that time where maybe at times you might've felt selfish, like I'm giving all this time to my dad and my mom and like neglecting, you know, my husband and child. But at the same time, you kind of have to be a little bit selfish still to heal, right? I mean, what's that been like for you?
I definitely made a commitment to myself, and this was after my mom had passed. And I said, okay, this is going to be the year where I give back to myself. And this is going to be the year where I take care of myself physically, mentally, spiritually, in every possible way that I feel like I need it. And thankfully I have a really great support in my husband, where he says, yes, absolutely, do what you need to do, I'm here for you, whatever it is. And so I'm extremely thankful to have a supportive partner to be able to do those things. But I feel like that has been very key for myself, in the sense of, you know, I was sitting with my mom in the hospital sometimes for days on end, and I wouldn't be eating because I'd be thinking, the doctor's going to walk in as soon as I get up and go down to the cafeteria to eat. I need to be sitting here so I can talk to the doctor and advocate for her. I wasn't exercising. I just wasn't taking care of myself, as I think other caretakers that might be listening can resonate with, in the sense of, yeah, you definitely neglect yourself a lot to be able to take care of another human being. And then especially when you add on the factor of somebody that's close to you, a family member.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, I mean, one is, I hope people, if they have to, they replay that first part, because again, just what you said, you know, like when that happened, you know, I basically kind of had this internal moment where I said, okay, this is like, I've got to do this for myself. I've got to take this, you know, time for myself. And that, because I think a lot of people would feel guilty about doing that, or they'd feel, again, like I said, selfish about, but it's almost like, if I don't do that, then what, right? If I don't, you know, because when he talks about in his book, the post-traumatic thriving, like the dive, the survive, or the thrive stage, is like, if I don't get back to thriving, then what good am I to the people around me? If I'm in that dive stage where I'm depressed, I'm angry all the time, I'm really not that good. But it's like, but some people, like I said, they might still feel guilty about, you know, taking the time to do the things to heal. But yeah, you kind of need to, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think even as a mother, I talk to a lot of my clients are women, are mothers themselves. And a lot of times you'll hear a woman say, oh, I just feel so guilty leaving my child at home or leaving my family. And they're working women. They cook, they do the laundry, they clean, they do all of these things for everybody else. And they just say, man, I just feel so guilty taking this day to go and get a massage or get my nails done or go have lunch with a friend. And why? Why do we allow ourselves to feel this guilty when you might feel so refreshed taking that time to yourself and giving back to yourself? And then you come back and you're an even better mother or an even better parent or partner, because you've taken that time to just take a break and come back and say, okay, you know, I've given back to myself. I don't feel as drained anymore. And, you know, so I encourage people to do those things.
Right. I think that's a key to, like I said, you know, taking care of yourself sets you up in a much better place to be refreshed and to be able to have the energy to do or to give to others. So it's like, you know, I mean, it's a better process of it, but again, getting past the guilt or whatever it is that maybe kind of keeps us from that is important. So couple things, and really just as far as like kind of turning this and wrapping it up, but I guess in general, either as a therapist or as your own experience, any thing that you would share with people outside of just even just, you know, making sure that we take care of ourselves, going through difficult things, whether it be loss or other kind of, just in general, any kind of thoughts for people?
So maybe somebody that is having challenges, potentially going through being a caregiver or having loss, and what suggestions I would give?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that was kind of vague. Yes, that. Yeah, just going through that kind of a situation. What kind of things would you suggest for them?
I can speak for myself, and what helped for me is...
I trust that'd be good advice.
I would hope so. You know, just finding that support when you're in the midst of it, it's so challenging because it feels that it's never ending. I remember going through it and thinking, I don't know when this is going to end. I don't see the finish line. I feel like I'm running a marathon and I don't see the end. And I'm just getting so drained and so burnt out. And then also accepting when the time comes that potentially your loved one passes, accepting there might be some feelings of relief, and that's okay to feel this, oh, I don't have to be burdened anymore. And I don't have to worry about them anymore. And I feel relieved that I can now focus on myself.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And I think that we need to normalize feeling that way. And talking about it, reaching out and having that support of people that you can talk to, and they're not going to be shy to talk about death and the really ugly side of all of it. I think that's key to talk about all of those things.
And I think that goes back to something that I have tried to share with clients for a long time now, since it kind of came to me, is just that we can hold more than one feeling at a time, meaning I can feel relieved and sad at the same time, right? Like I'm sad that they're gone, but I'm relieved that they're not suffering, or that they're gone. Or like you said, that burden's been taken away. Like we can hold more than one feeling. And I think we get too kind of caught up in the black and white of if you feel this sense of relief, are you not, you're happy that they're gone, or they're what? And it's those things don't have to mean that, right? It's just like, we can feel that sense of relief and still feel sad. You know, those two things can exist at the same time. And I think we are too quick to judge ourselves as being bad or wrong or whatever, if we start to have that feeling of relief and it's like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling that. No, you should feel that, and you can feel that. You can also feel sad at the same time, you know, because you've lost somebody, you know, they can go down the same path, right? So that's important to remember with that. But I think that's great to hear as well. So any other tidbits or things that you can think of? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but
I think it's hard to think of things when you're going through the midst of it. I would say go to therapy, find a support group if you can. And then afterwards, just take care of yourself and don't be afraid to ask people when you need help.
Yeah.
Because people that love and care about you, they want to be there for you. They want to help. And sometimes they don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so it could be something as basic as, can I just have a hug, or I need to talk about something. And sometimes you can call somebody and say, I need to talk about something, anything but this.
So
get on the phone with me and just distract me. And sometimes that's just very comforting.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that directive and just kind of being clear and being okay to say, this is what I need right now. Again, I think we're afraid to maybe upset people or whatever, but sometimes we just need what we need. Right. You know, and that's okay to ask for it and be specific, because then we're not going to feel disappointed or then upset. Because if we have a conversation where somebody makes us talk about something we don't want to talk about, then it's like, now I feel worse. Why did I make that phone call? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But people aren't mind readers. Sometimes you have to tell them exactly what you need.
Right. Okay. Well, I think that's some great stuff great stuff as far as, going through that, but great. Yeah. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. What were you saying?
Well, I don't know if anybody's asked you this on your podcast, but what tips and advice would you give, since you've also lost your mother around the same time that I lost mine?
Yeah. I mean, I like you, I think as far as like the idea of like support, I mean, that's a great, as far as support and going through it and finding people that you can connect to is important. And I think for me, what was important is like, I really, and maybe again, this was like the therapy brain, but it's like, in that moment, I just wanted to be in that moment, you know what I mean? And not think about anything too much ahead or whatever the what ifs. It's just like being in that moment and like it was what it was. Like, you know, my mom was passing away. And I mean, even like rewinding it, it's like, I think it's different when you kind of like have a little bit of time to prepare. Cause I know me and my wife had talked about this. Her dad died unexpectedly of a heart attack. My mom had her diagnosis. And then I think your mom kind of outlived her diagnosis, right? Like it was kind of, so did my mom. She was like, I think given like 8 months and she lived like 2+ years or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, you'd said this earlier and it was like, you know, I didn't have like any regrets or anything like that. I didn't have anything to be worried about. Did I say this? Did I not say this? Because prior to, I just made the commitment, like, I'm going to talk to my mom every day if I can. I'm going to be with her, you know, when I can. I'm going to, you know, just do what I can to make the most of this time. And so when it really got to that point, I didn't feel anything but just like, okay, like sad, because I'm sad that I'm losing you, but I didn't feel that sense of like anger or like unsettledness, like there was unfinished business or anything like that. And so I think when we can prepare, we need to prepare and we need to do what we can to kind of make that the best possible situation. I get that we don't always get that time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so if we don't get that time, it's maybe a little bit different for people because now maybe they do have some of the unfinished business or they do have some of those other complicated feelings to work through. And for that, I would just encourage therapy, right? Because I mean, you can't, you know, I mean, because you can't, it's not good to sit with those things forever. Like you need to work them out and try to, like what you said, is like get maybe a different perspective because maybe you're just seeing it one way because that's the only way that you've held on to it for your entire life, right? So to be able to get outside of that and maybe get perspective of what you've experienced with a parent or a loved one that maybe you've lost, I think that's all important too. So yeah, hopefully I answered your question.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, and I think the other part too, that's important is obviously when it comes to feelings and emotions, everybody's different, you know, and we're going to experience things in a different way. But I think even just, again, that allowance of like, whatever it is that you feel, it's okay to feel, right? And mm-hmm. just letting yourself go through that. Because maybe one day it's anger, maybe another day it's sad, maybe it's back to anger, maybe it's, you know, whatever, depressed, whatever, sad, they all kind of like those kind of run together. And sometimes hopefully it's happy, right? Like that you can just cherish the time and the moments and the memories and the laughter that you had with that person and that you can just kind of be caught up in that side of it as well. So whatever it is, I think it's important to just let yourself feel that, right? Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Lauren. And you know, obviously again, just best to you. I think you are showing what it can take or what it's like for people to kind of go through things. Because whether it's loss or just some other difficult challenge, there's a process of going through it. And we have to find that path for each of us. And you know, the idea of you know, dealing with it and confronting it and just being able to be with something difficult is hard. And, you know, it's not as easy a thing. So if we have to ask for help or go seek help for that, it can be a positive. So anyway, thanks again for coming on. Thanks, and sharing Ryan. Your story, and we will talk soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, at this time I just want to thank my guest again, Lauren, for coming in and sharing about her story and her process through grief and loss and trauma, and just the insights that she's able to share about how she was able to work through these difficult life challenges and begin to thrive in her life again. So I hope you found that helpful and can take some things away from it and apply it into your own situation. One of the things I felt I took away from this in reference to especially the book Post-Traumatic Thriving was in that book, he talks about the stages of going through trauma, the dive stage, the survive stage, and the thrive stage. And in the thrive stage, when we're working through and getting to the other side of our trauma, we experience things like gratitude, there's resilience, there's forgiveness, there's connection, and there's faith. And the thing that's really stood out to me more recently is the importance of connection and how important it is to connect with others as we are moving through our trauma and getting onto the other side of it. I believe Lauren talked about that in the episode, just how important it was for her not only to seek out therapy, but also support systems and be able to reach out to people and have that connection in place. For me, recently, I had the experience of going to California and being able to spend time with family. My brother in particular was there. We had a chance to go for a drive and get some donuts and some energy drinks and different things. But we were able to talk about life and different life events. And it was really helpful for me to kind of just see how he's moving through life after my mom and losing my mom, and being able to kind of pick up the pieces and see how he's processing things, as well as be able to share how I'm moving through things. And it was just a great conversation. And I just think that that connection is so important, that we continue to talk, we continue to kind of share and let each other know what we're going through and what we're experiencing and how we're handling the challenges of life in this new phase of our lives, you know, with loss and grief and kids and everything that's going on. And it's just really great to have those connections and be able to reach out and share how you're feeling and be vulnerable. So if you're not doing that, please do that, or find somebody that you can do that with, because it's such an important aspect to healing, is just being able to connect and have others in our corner. This is The Vegas Therapist signing off. Until next time.